What's up, guys? Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about developing a valuable skill if you're looking to become a freelancer. So, I actually spent, Jesus, I think it was, I've probably spent 3 of the last 5 years of my career as a freelancer. And so, right now I work at K-Swiss, but prior to that, I was actually, K-Swiss was a freelance client of mine. I had them on a monthly retainer. And then they took me in-house and now I'm on salary. But prior to that, I was freelance. I had K-Swiss as a client. I had some friends down in Orange County as a client. Shout out Mikhail from Blue Light Media. And I have done a lot of freelance work for a lot of different people throughout my career. And so what I want to do is I want to impart a little bit of what I learned in that time freelancing on you. And it's also going to serve sort of as a refresher for myself because I'm looking to get back into freelance. I want to do some more work so that I can grow my income a little bit. And so I need to like sit down, go back through what I know about freelancing and getting clients and things like that. And I figure as I'm doing that for myself and getting myself back into it, why don't I share it with you and really make something of it? So today I want to talk about skills, just finding, developing a valuable skill. And you may already have this, especially if you are already working a 9-to-5 somewhere. If you have a job of any kind, you have a skill. Or maybe you went to school, i.e., college, maybe you went to college to learn something that you're not using in your job right now, but you could be using it with freelance clients. Could be something there. You could also have skills that you just have no idea that you still know how to do or you've since forgotten about. For example, I have a friend who he and I were in a carpentry class together in high school. I took 1 year of it. He took 4 years of that carpentry class. So he knows like flooring and tiling. He could build a whole house by himself if he wanted to, wire the whole thing, everything. That's a valuable skill, one that contracting companies need, and one that just people who want a new deck need. And so, even something like that can be a skill. So, the first piece of this, right, is getting a skill. You need to be, if you want to be freelance, if you want to work on your own terms, you need to develop a very valuable skill. And so this can come in a lot of different forms. And I've got 13 examples right here that I want to walk through. And truthfully, any skill, like sometimes it's called contracting, sometimes it's called other names, but any skill that you have that you can directly market to another person, it can be freelance. So for me, right? The things that I do freelance are videography. Like this right here, setting up a camera, being able to film something and make it look good, make it sound good even. That in and of itself is a skill that is marketable as a freelancer. Now, also, a little bonus one, audio. If you have the equipment and or know how to get really good, crisp, clean audio, like in fact, here at K-Swiss, we hired a guy to pick out this equipment and we went and bought it and he set up this podcast room for us for a fee. That's a freelance skill. He knows how to set up something like this to where we can have nice, crisp, clean audio and we paid him for it. So videography, audio, editing is also a very marketable freelance skill. If you go on Upwork.com, there are tons and tons of video editing jobs just from all over the globe, and it's something that people are really scared to do because when you first open up like Adobe Premiere Pro, for example, I mean the first time I opened it up, even when I had already learned Final Cut Pro and I was editing on that every day, the first time I opened up Adobe Premiere Pro, I had no fucking clue what to do. Everything was just so foreign to me. The whole interface was weird. I didn't even know how to import footage or like how the file structure worked and all of that kind of stuff. I didn't know anything. And so that's why people are really scared about editing. And so if you know how to edit, you can make some good money from editing. Trust me. Motion graphics. So you think Adobe Premiere Pro is a little rough at the start? After Effects is way rougher. But I've actually learned how to use it. I was actually challenged by Santi, the art director here at K-Swiss, to, you know, really dig in and learn After Effects. And I spent 6 months, maybe 8 months, and like really figured it out to where now I feel really comfortable making like motion graphics and like interesting titles that are dynamic with micro interactions. And if I like really try, then I can do some interesting animation of like strokes and things. And I've really figured it out. But motion graphics is a huge, huge place. So essentially, editing clients often also need motion graphics. But the other thing too is like motion graphics is a space where you can put up some like really simple titles just as you're editing and like have it sort of animate in, animate out. And that's easy. It doesn't cost very much. But if you really take time and animate a logo properly and make it just a beautiful work of art in the animation, that is worth money, because there are so, so few people who know how to do it. And it's actually really complex just even thinking about the structure of the file and knowing all of the tricks and techniques to animate it. If you know that stuff, that's valuable. You can make some great money freelancing. Switching gears a little bit, copywriting is a really huge freelance skill. Another example for K-Swiss, you know, here at K-Swiss, we actually, all of our copywriting for, our, how do I put it? We don't do it for social media. We have Omar, a social media guy, writes that copy, but all of our like product fact sheets and stuff on the website and press releases, that's all written by a copywriter. And it's a freelance guy that we pay monthly, and we just send him all the stuff that we need copy for. We send him just the details of what needs to be in it. He takes that, makes it a beautiful marketing paragraph, and we use that everywhere. So copywriting is a really great skill. And if you can find a company like a K-Swiss or, you know, other smaller brands or, you know, local businesses in your town or something like that, you can make money copywriting. I put SEO on here, which is just search engine optimization. This is a skill that I don't know a whole lot about, like in depth. What I do know, like the basics of making sure that you use keywords and use them multiple times throughout the, you know, like a piece that you're writing or the copy or using it in titles, things like that. I know some basics like that, but I'm telling you, there are people out there that know how to optimize for search engines in a whole different way, and it is a real marketable skill. The challenge is getting people to understand the difference between like my little bit of knowledge and someone who has a lot of knowledge, because people that really know their shit can do a lot with search engine optimization. But if I tried to do something, like, I just wouldn't do all that much with it because I don't know enough. And it's really hard to tell someone who doesn't know the difference. It's hard to tell them what the difference is. Like, I don't even know the difference. I just know that there are people who know way more than me. So if you can figure that out and you can pitch yourself, you can make money doing that. There's also, you know, community management and social media growth kind of go hand in hand. There's a huge market for people with small product brands, even like dropship companies and things like that, apparel companies, who just don't have very good social media. And there's definitely 3, 5, 20 small businesses in your town that aren't on social media at all. Now, how easy would it be for you to learn to take some photos and learn to write some decent copy, go into one of those businesses and say, hey, for $250, $500, $1,000 a month, whatever you're comfortable with, whatever quality you're at too, for this much a month, I would love to get you on social media and start driving new traffic into the business. And maybe if it's $1,000 a month, maybe 250 of that is sort of a marketing spend. And this is the amount that you're able to spend on ads every month. So you're taking 750 and 250 of that is going directly toward paying for advertising for them. That is a very quick way to start getting a few little freelance clients. And then on top of that, still on the topic of social media, knowing new platforms is a really serious space that you should consider. So right now, for example, TikTok is sort of the hot new app that everybody's on, and it's the first one in a few years to really break past like that Musical.ly stage where, you know, and actually TikTok is Musical.ly, just rebranded, but Musical.ly got into this weird space of like, it was really big and a lot of influencers popped off on it and really like grew their audience, but it never broke the age, sort of like the age gap into older people and like adults and like young adults and stuff. It stayed in that sort of kid and teen area of demographics, and it never broke through. But if you know, you know, how to use Musical.ly, how to use TikTok now, especially now that TikTok is breaking into older segments, if you know how to do that, you could even go to an ad agency that doesn't know how to do it. Like, there are a lot of smaller ad agencies, especially around LA, like, and people that they're in the business of social media growth, but they don't under, they're not, they're too focused on Facebook ads and Instagram and things like that, that it's hard for them to play with new platforms like TikTok and really figure them out so that they can sell them to their clients. But if you know it, at the very least, they might pay you a consulting fee to come in and teach them all about TikTok. Or if you really want to go crazy with this, you could, if you really figure out TikTok and you have some talent and you're pretty enough and that whole thing, you could actually become a TikTok influencer for a brand. Because a lot of TikTok is individuals with great creativity doing really fun things, and then like maybe there's like a little product placement in the content, right? And that's really as far as that goes. So if you could be a TikTok influencer for a company, that would be interesting as shit. So think about that. We talked about paid media a little bit. Essentially, if you can learn how to run ads on Facebook, Instagram, you know, Snapchat ads, like things like that, if you can make them and know how to run them, you can sell that service to all kinds of companies of all different sizes. And the best way to market yourself with that is to have case studies of past work that you've done where you've made a very high return on ad spend. Yeah, that's the best way to market yourself. If you can, if I can spend $100 with you and make $500, and you do it like clockwork and it works every time, I'm hiring you. Blogging. So this is actually something I'm doing right now. I got my first blogging client a couple days ago. Wrote the first article yesterday, actually. And so blogging is something that's interesting. You can, sort of like copywriting, you can find people that want to write a blog for their business, or you know, a startup that they're doing, or they just want to create content. You can write a blog for someone. You can ghost write for them, or you can guest write for them. You can write on Medium. In fact, even on Medium, you can use Medium's metered paywall so that you can make money directly from Medium from your own ideas. That's actually what I do. I just don't make very much money off of it yet. But you can do that. And so blogging about things that you really know about, maybe from like a past life, like a past job or relationships or something like that. If you can blog about something that you know and have been through or have learned, like a skill that you have or something like that, do it. You make money that way. And then photography is on here as well. Photography is pretty self-explanatory. It's a lot like videography. If you have a camera and you have some, if you have a photographic eye, if you know it looks good, and you have some good technical skills, you can shoot product photos, you can shoot portraits, you can do Instagram photo shoots for random influencers. There's a huge market for freelance photography, and we can go more in depth into how to get into that market later. And then finally, the last one I have on here is web design. And so if you are interested in website design, you could, I mean, A, the best thing to do is become a badass web developer and really know your shit, code everything in HTML5, like just be able to really make some amazing stuff. And then like maybe you can make a template website that you sort of drag and drop things from different clients into. You put it into your template that you made, and you know that's a way that you can do your work faster. Or like, even I truly believe that even if you're like really small time, you could learn how to use Squarespace, and you could sell your service of setting up a Squarespace site for people and then teaching them how to use Squarespace and then handing it off and just saying, here you go. I built your site with everything. I wrote the copy. I, you know, designed it and formatted everything. Well, here you go. Now you keep it up to date. I think that that's a viable business. And I know that a lot of people shit on that idea. But truthfully, I think that, you know, if you're in Oklahoma in a small town and there are five businesses in your town that need some sort of website or just need an update, for Christ's sake, then you could probably sell them a website on Squarespace that then they keep up to date for like $500. Not bad. So that's some different examples of skills that you could have and start to freelance with. And this list is kind of something that I'll be working off of as I move forward and talk about freelancing more. And so I have a couple of other things that I want to talk about, which is first, once you have a skill, you need to figure out a like base product. A base product is essentially like, for me, right, with videography, my base product is my day rate. If you want me to bring my camera and I'm not doing a lot of producing, you have a shot list for me, it's simple day, I'm just getting your footage for you, then I charge you my day rate. And you know, a day rate can be anywhere from like $150 up to $2,000 a day, depending on who you are. I'm somewhere in the middle of that. So a day rate is a great base option. So it's something that I can sell to you. It's like a stock option. Hey, if you need me, I cost this much for this baseline thing, right? And then I have sort of a price for like personal branding videos. So I have done a lot of personal branding content for different people. And what I do for that is, you know, I shoot an interview with you or prompt you throughout the day, get a ton of B-roll from your day, make like a 3 to 5 minute edit with you talking and showing how the day went, and then edit it all together. Simple motion graphics for just titles and things to give it some context and, you know, put your social handles up. And then that 3 to 5 minute video may cost $1,000, $2,000, something like that. You know, something not too crazy, but it's kind of a stock option. And those are really, really important, because while a lot of times you're going to have people that like want something specific and then ask you how much it costs, sometimes people just see what you're doing and they're like, hey, I want you to do that for me. How much is it? And that's where your sort of stock option comes in. And then finally, we're going to touch on setting your rates today, but I'm going to talk a lot more about setting rates in the future, because setting your rate and pricing and making sure you get what you're worth is a topic that I'm really passionate about. But to start off, I'll give you just a quick tip about setting your rates and then we'll be done for today, which is the first thing you got to do is you got to observe the market and you got to find your place within it. So for me, I live in Los Angeles. It's a huge market. There are people here, there's cinematographers here who make millions on feature films that they shoot, right? And then there are like the lowest of the low videographers who charge like $50 for a music video, and the music video is crap, but they get paid and they do the work, and it's good for the artists in their beginning stages. There's a huge, huge, broad market with lots of different price points. What I've done is I've found, where do I fit into that? Where do I want to fit into it? I have a certain type of camera that can get a certain type of image, and that pulls in a certain amount of money. And then I have certain skill with this camera, right? There's people with the same camera who could not get my footage because they don't understand it. They don't understand the camera. They don't understand the techniques. They don't have the tangential gear that I have that helps me get smoother shots. If I'm the same person with the same skill, the same camera, same equipment, everything, if I, and everything that I know and have and stuff like that, if I go back home to Kentucky today and I start doing the same job in that market, I'm going to have to charge maybe a quarter of what I charge here because there's not as much money in the system and there's not as many clients. So you got to cut your prices so that you can keep up demand enough so that you actually have work. If I charged the price that I charge here in LA, back home in Kentucky, I would have zero clients because I would be way, way overpriced. So I think the way that you figure this out is you gotta talk, you gotta have a community of other people like you, people that do the same kind of work. And when you find that community, you can ask those people, hey, what do you charge? What do you suggest I charge? And do you ever come across people in my price range? And that is how you initially set your rate. All right, I know this has been a lot of information. I know I've talked a lot today. I hope this was super valuable, and we're going to get more into these freelancing topics in the future. So with that, I will talk to you soon.